Welcome to Soccer in 60, presented by the Empire Strikers. Get ready for your weekly look at all the pro soccer teams in Greater Los Angeles. We've got all the news and analysis you need, from LAFC and the LA Galaxy to the Empire Strikers, Angel City FC, and Orange County Soccer Club. Now, buckle up and enjoy Soccer in 60.
Hey, welcome to Soccer in 60. Again, me and Philly, we're pregaming a little bit today. We're getting after it on a thirsty Thursday. Hey, guys, we've got a heck of a show for you. You know, since the last time we hung out together, you know, LAFC, LA Galaxy, and Angel City all had a couple of games. So we're going to get after that. Two games. Woohoo! And then we got a great interview. Philly caught up with Miguel Ponce yesterday. So that's going to be on tap for us today. And then with Orange County, you know, it felt a little like Oprah went to the Orange County game. You get a brace. You get a brace. Everybody gets a brace. Everybody that scores a couple of gets a couple of markers. And then we're going to get after it. There's a bunch of extra special footy tournaments going on right now, including the Copa America that starts here in about 56 minutes. Philly, how we doing today, baby?
We're doing all right. We've got a Gordon Gekko, Michael Douglas reference last week. We've got Oprah this week. I can't wait to hear what's going to happen next week. Tim, I'm good. Soccer fans, hello. Greeting all the supporters out there. Hello, new listeners. Happy Hour is back, now in session. Let's kick back, relax, grab that drink and that snack. Getting down to business is what we're going to do. What's that business? The business of soccer. If you love this sport, you got to be loving life. I know I am. So much going on. Tim alluded to it. Copa America starts today with Canada and Argentina. The Euros are going on. Plenty of Major League Soccer action. Like me, and I'm sure many of you are like me, is what I'm getting at. I eat, sleep, breathe, rinse, recycle, repeat when it comes to this wonderful game. And looking forward to being here and having another great show with you, Tim.
Awesome. And everybody that's catching us on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, you're streaming us, hanging out on YouTube with us. Great to have you along. And it's going to be a barn burner of a show, right? Let's get after it. What are we going on with LAFC, man? Since we last talked, they've had a couple of games, and they've been kicking some tail, man. They've been doing great.
Kicking some dairy air. Yes, two games. We all have a lot of stuff to cover. I got two games to cover. You got two games to cover. Panda's going to come on to cover two Angel City games. Let's get at it. There was a two-week break since LAFC last played. Their last matchup was against Dallas at home at BMO on June the 1st, where they won 1-0. We already alluded to what happened in the two-week break. Nothing other than the fact that LAFC sent a couple players out on international duty. We've already touched upon that. No need to go back into that again. Orlando City. And it's funny that we're talking about Orlando City because we're going to be talking about Kaká, where that was the team he retired back in 2017. More on the Game of Legends later. But Orlando City, not necessarily a very competitive team in the Eastern Conference this season. A team that has gone, 4-7-5. But here's the interesting thing about this team. At home, 1-4-3. Not a very good home team, which goes beyond conventional thinking and wisdom. It's so much harder to play on the road in any sport. Orlando seems to make it harder to play at home. 1-4-3. Their last five, not great. One win, two draws, two losses. So let's get into things. LAFC comes in having won five consecutive matches in MLS play without allowing a goal. Had they shut out Orlando SC this past Saturday, LAFC would have been the first team in MLS history to win six straight games without allowing a goal. Newsflash and spoiler alert, that would not happen. Saturday's game was the first time that LAFC and Orlando met over the course of this season, and only the fourth time that these two have collided with each other since 2018. LAFC having the lion's, not really the lion's share, but having a 2-0-1 record against the purple of Orlando City. Let's get into things. As George Michael once said on the Sports Machine, the broadcaster, not the singer. Let's roll off and talk about what happened, but we don't have any videotape, so never mind.
Hit the big button, Philly.
Yeah, exactly. Hit the big button. So I'm going to talk about the big moments that came up in both of LAFC's matches. I'm going to spare you all the details about useless things that don't matter. In the 18th minute of this game, Nothing transpired, but there was a great cross in the box connecting with Kai Kamara, whose header just sailed to the left of the post. I wanted Kai Kamara so badly to tie Landon Donovan's record there, but more on that later. In the 32nd minute, this is where things got a little hectic for LAFC. There was a penalty in the box as Facundo Torres gets fouled by Edward Atuesta. Facundo Torres, by the way, not making the Uruguayan national team is crazy. Denny's complaining to the ref. Everybody's complaining to the ref. Either way you slice or dice it, you've got Facundo Torres, who, forget about it, Facundo absolutely sails it, just as they were showing the trajectory of his six previous successful penalty kicks. That could have been a make-or-break scenario for Orlando. Needless to say, no goal happened there, much to the delight of LAFC. In the 44th minute, this is where the scoring line starts to open. Denny makes a hell of a run towards the box. I'm so excited, I'm fumbling over my words. From the midfield, he sliced and diced through Arujo and Jansen. And Denny is just, I don't know if he's that good or Orlando's defenders were just really lazy, but he cut them up like a hot knife going through butter. He successfully attracts a foul in the box, and nobody does it better than Denny Bouanga. He converts for his 11th goal of the season, goes rightish to the middle. Now he's a perfect 5-for-5 on PKs, and he's a perfect, I forget the number, but he's not missed or been stuffed from 12 yards out. LAFC goes into the locker room up 1-0. 68th minute, Orlando gets the equalizer, breaking that shutdown streak by LAFC. Terrible defensive clearance. Timmy Tillman goes backwards rather than forwards, connecting with Eric Duenas. His touch was all too mighty. Ball comes in. Martin Ojeda, who subbed in the 61st, had a give and go to Muriel, who's a player to watch, by the way, on Orlando. And Ojeda converts for the first goal of the season. First goal allowed by LAFC since May 8th, ending a streak of 644 minutes in all competitions without conceding a goal. But it would only be an equal game for 11 minutes. Matty Bogusch with a great defensive play, sandwiched between Facundo Torres and Jesus David Murillo. He is off to the races. The Gazelles of LAFC are running, running, running. Matty, near post, smashes in a beauty, his 7th of the year. He's been involved in 10 goals this year, also having recorded 3 assists. 6 minutes later, Nathan Ordaz gets hit, stays on his feet. Then he gets tackled, but luckily Denny is there. And then the dribbling, the footwork, so incredible, a spark of brilliance. Denny Bouanga smashes it. That's it. LAFC wins by a score of 3-1. They now go to a 10-4-3 record on the season for 33 points. That was the weekend game. Steve Cherundolo mentioned winning is contagious, winning is important, winning away from home is a lot of fun, and he isn't wrong. LAFC now extends their winning streak to 8 games in all competitions. Let's get into the game that just took place this past Wednesday in Austin. Texas has not been very friendly to LAFC, whether it be FC Dallas, the Houston Dynamo, you name the team, it just hasn't been great for LAFC. And it honestly hasn't been great for Austin either since LAFC beat them in the Western Conference Finals back in 2022. Let's get right into the game itself. 19 minutes, we would see a goal scored by Yadier Obrion, capitalizing on an LAFC mistake. Sebastian Driussi bodies Edward Atuesta off of the ball. And by the way, how could that not have been a foul? And that enables Obrion to make a run. He fires it from the outside of the box past Hugo Lloris. Home team is up 1-0. Not great. Let's roll into the halftime. The score is 1-1. Austin played a much better game than LAFC. Austin as well, a much better team at home than they are on the road. Sebastian Driussi, their talisman, he had a groin injury, which he was not able to feature in the game against RSL, hence why Austin got their butts kicked. Game changes when Ilya Sanchez subs in for Eric Duenas to start the second half. We are going to fast forward much further on. There was a lot of back and forth, far more yellow cards than we would see shots on goal. Now, in the 88th minute, a sequence of corners for LAFC. But finally, in the 90th minute, Kai Kamara absolutely dunks on his defender, getting a great pass in from Matty Bogusch. Kai's first regular season goal in Major League Soccer, second in all competitions this season, And at 39 years of age, he ties Landon Donovan with 145 career goals. One more, and that puts him number two behind Chris Wondolowski, and that's going to be a Herculean effort to get in with that, to get in that close to Wondolowski. With the draw, LAFC is now unbeaten in 9 straight games in all competitions, 7 straight in MLS play. The 9-game unbeaten streak is the most in LAFC's history, dating back to 2018 when the club first came through, which has been phenomenal. And then Kai Kamara again, 145 goals in 430 all-time regular season matches in Major League Soccer. LAFC going on the road, LAFC collecting points on the road, which in this league, not very easy. Their next game at home, which feels like they haven't played in front of the screaming fans, the 3252 and everybody in that stadium in quite some time. June 1st, they take on San Jose at BMO at 7:30 Saturday Pacific Standard Time. The second meeting of the season between these two, LAFC was up at Levi's Stadium. They lost to San Jose there, and they are going to look to take some revenge. A lot of people have referred to San Jose in the past as the Smurfs. Well, LAFC is Gargamel. San Jose is the Smurfs. Gargamel's going to be making Smurfs do out of the Earthquakes come Saturday. Let's go. And that is your LAFC wrap-up.
Woo! I love it, Philly. Being Gargamel, the Smurfs, get after it. So let's move up. I'll take over from here, baby. You've been talking for a few minutes. Let me get after the Galaxy. So we've had a couple of games for the Galaxy since we last hung out together. You know, we talked in detail about the Sporting Kansas City group and what they were going to come in and what they were going to bring. And for sure, they brought it. You know, going into this game, Galaxy was 4-0-3 at home. And, you know, Dejan Jovalic and Gabriel Pack, as they should be, they're the stars of the team. And they have been getting after it. Ricky Pooch didn't play. He's got a nagging injury, and he didn't make it to last night's game either. But Greg Vanney, the guy's a genius, right? So he's been playing when Pooch is in the lineup. He always has been playing a 4-3-3 lineup. This time he switches it up to a 4-2-3-1 and puts Diego Fagundes into the starting lineup, and he slots him in right behind Jovalic. So Jovalic is playing more like a true number 10. And it's fantastic because in the 40th minute, Jovalic makes Greg Vanney look even more like a genius and makes it 1-0. Tim Melia made a couple of great saves. There was a great shot off by Peck, and then Jovalic hits him one, and how he stopped the second one, I'll never know. But then he just says, all right, let's get up on the roof, and just brings down the roof and rips one high into the roof of the net, makes it 1-0. And then Peck and Jovalic are just continuing their success on a goal in the 54th minute. And this is where subs matter, right? Sporting sends in Stefan Afria, and he makes his presence known. He gets a goal. Paint Sill comes off the bench about the same time that Stefan does. And after coming back from an injury just 10 minutes into the game, he's gets into the action, and Yamane hits Peck with a deep ball, 50-yarder, over the top, and hits Paint Cell, he hits Peck. Peck puts this ball across, and Joseph just buries this thing. So about 10 minutes later, some back and forth, Sporting KC gets another goal, making this game interesting. And the next thing you know, Miguel Berry comes on for Jovalic. Well, it's just like Peck has got, Jovalic in the front, because in stoppage time, Peck puts a beauty of a cross right over the front of the goal mouth. It eludes 4 different people, including Tim Melia, and Miguel Berry comes sliding in like he's going into second base, but he hits the ball, buries it 4-2, and the Galaxy win. Peck of a game on Saturday night, just making sure that everybody has got this thing dialed in. So, sorry, it's Melia. Sorry, Tim. We'll get. I'm getting used to your name, and with the name like Tim, at least I can pronounce that one. So then on Wednesday, Pooch is still out, and so Vanney does the same thing that he did. Now he puts Paint Sill into the starting 11 against New York City FC, but he's got this same 4-2-3-1 lineup. He's got this thing dialed in. And once again, the stars shine as Jovalić gets a goal and an assist. The goal in this game to put the team up 1-0 is Jovalić's 11th goal of the season, moves him into the top 10 all-time in LA Galaxy history with this 30th marker with the team. It's great. And then a little later on in the game, Peck makes a brilliant steal at the top of the New York City FC 18 and drives the shot. It's deflected by the defense. But you know who it falls to? Falls to the feet of Jovalić. And this is his marker. He smoothly puts the ball into the back of the net again, the 11th of the year. And Matt Fries can't do anything about it. He's frozen in time. He's like this. He just doesn't move. And Jovalić just buries the thing. It was brilliant. And then, again, Vanny putting Fagundes into this into the starting lineup. Peck pinches into the middle of the field after taking a long pass from his own defense. Makes a sweet move on the inside of the defender. Looks to his left and passes to the right, where Jovalić takes this no-look pass. Sends the ball across the front. And then Paintsill dummies a little bit. And Fagundes just rifles this ball. Goes past Freeze, and he's got no chance. He flails, and he can only watch as the ball goes into the back of the net. 2-0, just dialed in. The Galaxy now head off to Real Salt Lake. Real Salt Lake is an interesting team. They had a kind of tough start out to the season, lost a couple of games early. Well, lo and behold, they've decided to stop losing. They're on a 15-game unbeaten streak. They are just incredible. They've, you know, although the Galaxy have got 4 wins in their last 5, going up to Real Salt Lake, as Philly said earlier, winning on the road is pretty freaking impossible in this league. And Real has just got this thing dialed in. However, in the overall series with Real, LA Galaxy is 24-20-15. So they played really well against Real. The last 3 games, though, the Galaxy is 0-1-2. You know, they've had a couple of ties. They've lost. And, you know, the key to stopping Real Salt Lake you're going to need to stop the current MLS Golden Boot leader in Cristiano Arango. And everybody here in LA knows Arango. He's currently sitting with 3 more goals than Benteke of DC United. And he's got 16 goals. You know, he leads the way in the league. It's going to be hard for people to catch him. I know there's a lot of footy left to be playing this season, but with 16 goals and he's got another 10 assists. So he's in the top 3 in both parts. So not only is he scoring the goals, putting them in the back of the net, he's also assisting. And so you're going to also have to stop Andreas Gomez, who's got 10 twine ticklers by himself, and then also Diego Luna, who's got 9 assists. Oh, just seeing your reaction, Philly. I love it, baby.
What did you just call it?
A twine tickler.
Bravo, twine tickler. That just... You win. You win soccer in 60. Let's just put it that way.
Come on, there's nothing better. When I played, man, there was nothing better than the sound of the foot and the sound of the back of the ball hitting the plastic netting, man. It's a twine tickler. I love it.
I'm going to have to use that on a broadcast. I will give you the credit for a twine tickler. Oh, man. Put that on my bingo card today.
So now the Galaxy, you know, the Galaxies are 9-3-7. They're 3-3-4 on the road, undefeated at home still. Going up to Real Salt Lake is going to be it's going to be a heck of a challenge to beat Real with everybody that they're playing. Philly and I were talking about in the pregame show that they're just fun to watch. They pass really well. They don't do anything really that stupid, right? They're making the right pass when it makes sense. They're putting the ball back to the keeper when it makes sense. They're pushing the ball forward all the time when it makes sense. And especially playing up in Sandy, Utah, where you are at some elevation, it's going to be a little bit more difficult of a game than just staying home and playing in the friendly confines of Dignity Isle Sports Park.
I think the key is the Galaxy's back line needs to really step up, because they're going to have a really tough time with Chicho Arango. You said it. If he doesn't score, he's going to track defenders out there, and he's going to boot it off to somebody who's open, as he's done on 10 occasions, contributing to those dimes. He's a really fantastic player. Real Salt Lake is a fun team to watch. And I will say, what the Galaxy have going for them, in addition that nobody's talking about, I can't believe that Jovalich isn't on the on the Serbian national team. He should have been playing in today's game versus Slovenia. I was unaware that he cracked the top 10 for the Galaxy's all-time leading score. The kid's 24 years old. That blows my mind. It shouldn't be much longer until Jovalich becomes a fixture on that Serbian national team.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, because he's just playing at a superior level. And for him not to make the team is just, it shocked us as well. You know, it shocked me as well. But, you know, he'll get there. He's going to get after it. They're going to figure it out that he's playing at a very, very high level. And he makes it next time. You know, I don't see that. I don't see that not happening. So, and then, you know, hey, let's wrap this up. Tie a big giant bow on it, and we've got Philly's interview with Miguel with Mr. Ponce coming up.
My favorite part of doing soccer in 60 is getting to meet and chat with some of the players that compete on the teams that we cover. As per usual, we have an amazing guest to talk to on the show. And shout out to our producer, Gunner, for putting this interview together. And of course, shout out to our engineer, Christian Giordani, for always putting together a quality product. Our guest today has had an incredible career playing at the highest level of professional soccer in Mexico. He is known for his 12-year tenure at Chivas de Guadalajara, one of the most successful and beloved clubs in Mexico, where he won the Liga MX Clausura in 2017, Copa MX Apertura 2015, Clausura 2017, Supercopa MX 2016, and also as a member of Necaxa, Copa MX Clausura 2018. And along with friend of the pod and one of our previous guests, Marco Fabian, he won a gold medal in the 2012 Olympic Games. But what I admire most about our guest is not necessarily the career accolades, his professionalism. One of the most professional people that I have come across as a person. Soccer in 60, it is my honor to welcome Miguel Ponce. Miguel, welcome to Soccer in 60.
Hello, Philly. Thank you for the presentation. I really like it so much.
well, thank you. You've had a great career. And again, I mean that with the utmost sincerity. Your professionalism, the way you approach your vocation as a footballer, there are so many players that can learn something from you just from that alone.
Yeah. During my career, I learned to be a very professional player, because that helps me to extend my career.
Of course. And your career is still going, and it's still thriving. We saw each other recently on Sunday, and we're going to talk about that briefly. But, you know, how has the offseason been treating you? Like, what are some of the things that you've been up to?
Taking care of my family. My wife is pregnant right now, so I have to take her to the hospital so she's for her, I don't know, like they check her to see that everything is okay with her, with the baby. And actually that's what I do. Take care. I have a child, 10 months. So I'm taking care of this, of my family.
That's amazing. How are you getting any sleep these days?
Actually, I don't sleep. It's tired. Yeah, it's tired being at home. So please invite me, I don't know, a coffee maybe so I can have a little rest.
Maybe we should get some sponsors on here, some energy drinks, some coffee companies. Miguel Ponce needs that caffeine. He's got a baby on the way. Come on, let's do this.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're currently in Oregon right now. You're going to be training, I believe, with Deportivo Rose City of the UPSL. You know, talk to us about what the story is over there.
Yeah, these guys made me the invitation to join the team. they are about to play semifinals this Sunday. So I'm here to help them with my experience, and obviously we want to win this championship. So I'm here just for a few games.
Okay. We got to get those energy drinks in you. If you're not getting any sleep and you got a semifinal on Sunday, you got to be prepared, man.
Yeah, I need it for sure.
Now, I mentioned briefly, I saw you on Sunday. You competed in the Game of Legends that just took place at Toyota Arena, the game in which Kids Super FC, captained by Ronaldinho, took on Culture by Mo Ali FC, captained by Kaká. You know, talk to us about the game itself. Like, how much fun did you have competing in that game with all those different personalities?
Yeah, I was really honored for the invitation to join this Game of Legends. I had too much fun playing with Kaká. It was just such an amazing experience. Also playing against Ronaldinho, it was good to see him on the field. He's a really good player, has too much quality, and Kaká as well. And I really had too much fun in the field in the Toyota Arena.
You were a very big part of your team's success in that game. It was great getting to see you get those minutes, taking care of business. You're a big reason why the game was exciting and why the opposition couldn't find the back of the net. A very high-scoring game. Now, yeah. I know you. I saw you taking a selfie, you know, with Kaká. I mean, talk to us about how. I know you've shared the field with some special players your entire career, but Ronaldinho and Kaká. You said it was great playing with them, but how were they as people?
They are really nice. Kaká is a really nice person. He was accessible, so I asked him for an autograph and a picture. I really don't like to bother the players by asking pictures and autographs, but this was a special occasion, you know. These legends, you don't see them really often, so I had the opportunity to take my picture.
Of course. Did you get to connect with any of the other participants, Sasha Vujacic, or anybody else?
Yeah, Juninho, Juan Pablo, these guys that they speak Spanish. That's why it was easy for me connecting with these guys. So, so I know these guys. The other guy. This lady from Mexico, this influencer, Mercedes, as well.
Club de Cuervos.
Club de Cuervos. She's the competition for the People's League. But we connect with some of them, yeah.
That was fun. Did anybody other, of course, than Ronaldinho and Kaká, did anybody else's skill level surprise you? Like, is there anybody who stood out, in your opinion, as a pretty good footballer?
These ladies really play good. I mean... to be honest, I didn't know many of the influencers, but these guys, these ladies play really good football, you know. The ladies from Kids Super Team, they were really good. I don't know where they play, but they were really good.
Lauren Sesselman, you mentioned, you're obviously an Olympic gold medalist. Lauren Sesselman, she was wearing number 4 on Kids Super. She won a bronze medal for Team Canada in soccer in the Olympics. Not sure if you knew that, but yeah, she was one of those players. Now, obviously, like who are some of the other big names that you've played? This is outside of the Game of Legends, of course. You know, talk to us about some of the big names that you've ever played with or against, or somebody that you've really enjoyed competing against during your time at Chivas de Guadalajara, or even across the international stage playing for Mexico.
We had the opportunity to play against Real Madrid. I used to play against Cristiano Ronaldo, Benzema, Marcelo, all these stars from Real Madrid. Kaká as well. He was playing for the Madrid at that time. Del Piero, he was playing for Juventus. I had the opportunity to play against a lot of people, against Neymar in the Olympics, in the final. man, a lot of players. I played with Cinha in Mexico. He's Brazilian, Mexican-Brazilian, a really good player, very talented. So I had the opportunity to play with all these stars.
Of course. Who would you say was the hardest player for you to defend?
To defend, Cristiano Ronaldo, he was fast. you know, he was he's tall, so I had a like, it was an issue playing against this guy.
So he is as good as they say, huh?
Yeah, he is. He is.
I would say most people.
He got mad in that game. We lost 3-0. He scored the 3 goals. So.
Oh, geez. Well, let's not conjure up those memories anymore. Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, your good friend and teammate, you know, Marco Fabian, and you. You guys have so much shared history, and he was instrumental in helping you join Empire. Like, what's your connection like these days? Do you guys get to talk or spend a lot of time together during the off season?
Well, right now, we don't have that connection right now. He was in Spain. He had a team, and he's president, and he's also a player. But right now, he's enjoying his vacation, so he's in Mexico City. But maybe in July, we can see each other because we have some going on. So maybe we can, so I can see him this July.
One thing I wanted to ask you, and I know you've got plenty of things to do today. The last thing you want to do is hang out with me all afternoon, and I totally get it. I totally get it. You know, one thing that impressed me most, and of course, we're calling the games in the broadcasting booth. Like I always remember seeing you and Marco staying behind for a lot of autographs and selfies after Strikers games. Like, talk to us about your connection to the fans and why you feel it's important to interact with them.
Yeah, these people remember me playing for Chivas and Marco as well. So they go to the arena to see me play, to see Marco play, and to have an autograph or a picture. So I feel like the need to stay until the end so I can attend all these people that are in the arena just to watch me or Marco play. So I actually like it, you know. In the past, playing for Chivas, that couldn't be possible because people was really intense. But right now it's different. People is friendly. So you can talk with them. So they are nice to you. So that's why I stay at the end and I talk with them. I have a chat. And I also give them a picture and an autograph. They stay happy, and I'm happy. You know, they get what they want, and I also feel good because I make them happy.
This just all ties back into what I said at the top of the interview. Like, your professionalism is what really stands out to me the most. So I just wanted to say, you know, thank you, you know, for that. I know you got stuff to do. Good luck to you this weekend with Deportivo Rose City of the UPSL. Hope y'all make it and win what you got to win. And I hope our paths cross. Miguel, it was an honor and a privilege. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Philly, thank you very much for this interview. And I hope to see you soon. Thank you.
All right, have a good one, Miguel. Good luck.
Dude, what a good guy.
Miguel's great. I
mean, you said it, you know, the professionalism from stem to stern, the entire interview, it was great. And it was fun to hear him say, oh, yeah, I wanted a picture and an autograph of Kaká. You know, here's a guy that's won a gold medal as representative Mexico, who knows how many times, you know. And he goes up and he goes, hey, Kaká, I want an autograph. And Kaká's like, yeah, cool.
We're all fans of this game. I mean, just the same way people line up to chat with him. I mean, he's got over 300 professional career games playing in Liga MX. He's hoisted trophies with Chivas. You said it, the gold medal at the Olympics. And he's still such a humble person and a very professional person as well. So going to have to keep an eye out on the UPSL this weekend just to see how he does.
Yeah, I think that's got to be something that we all got to check into, check it out, and figure out how to take a look at that, get it unstreamed or something, watch that game. So, perfect. Well, so hopping over from Miguel, let's hop over to Angel City. We have our favorite Amanda the Panda, and here she comes.
Hey, Panda! Hey guys, what's going on? So good to see you in this fashion. So kind of great that we didn't have to do a little tag on into this thing today. So anyways, Yeah, much like the other games that you guys have recapped, Angel City also had two games this past week. They squeaked one in on us last night, less than 24 hours ago even. So let's just dive right into these because there's not a lot to highlight in one and a whole lot to highlight in the other. Now, June 15th, Angel City did travel to Houston, and they did come away with a point, earning a draw against the Dash. That would make this the team's third shutout of the season. Now, like I said, not a whole lot to highlight here other than the fact that Angel City should have taken all 3 points, but unfortunately, a saved PK shot by Emsley and a ball that just would not cross the line in stoppage time is going to keep this game scoreless. And thankfully, we did not get a repeat of the last matchup between these two when we saw former ACFC defender Paige Nielsen net the game winner in the 98th minute. Now, with 13 minutes of stoppage time in this game, that's right, 13 extra minutes, we were all definitely holding our breath because sometimes it is not fared too well for Angel City in stoppage time, but they did earn a point on the road. It was hot in Houston, but they definitely grinded it out, and I think they were very happy with their performance. Now, a performance that we can definitely all be proud of is the one that happened last night. Angel City was going to be back at home, taking on Racing Louisville, celebrating Juneteenth. So had a lot of great performances last night, a lot of really fun things, to highlight as well. But, this game was great. It ended up being a victory to Angel City 3-2 on home turf and it's packed full of action. And after dominating possession throughout the early part of the game, ACFC opened the scoring in the 17th minute. We saw defender Madison Curry. She plays a beautiful through ball under the feet of the Louisville defense and into the 6-yard box for rookie Kennedy Fuller, who one-timed it into the back of the net. This would make this Fuller's first professional goal. And this made her only the third youngest player to score in the NWSL. And it was also Curry's first professional assist. So shout out to you guys. You both have had her, had both of them on this show. So maybe that's some good luck. So let's just keep bringing those players on. Now, Angel City doubled their lead in the 32nd minute following a free kick from defender Merritt Mathias. She sent the ball to the edge of the 6-yard box where she found the foot of Rocky Rodriguez. She's able to settle the ball and unleash a left footed strike that went right past the goalkeeper. And then in the 41st minute, we're going to see Louisville pull one back on a penalty kick. Now, after ACFC defender Megan Reed was given a caution card or yellow card for a foul in the box, midfielder Taylor Flint, she's going to step up to the spot and send her attempt past Haracich to bring the score 2-1. To be fair, we did boo pretty hard at this point because we just couldn't see it because they wouldn't show the replay, but Reed definitely did step on her foot, but can tell you the boos felt pretty good from all of us. I think we all needed to just get it out. Now, Angel City, they doubled their lead in the 32nd minute following a free kick from I have just reset everything. I think I was so excited about that free kick. What we're going to say is Racing Louisville, they're going to come out swinging after the break. They had a flurry of chances in the early minutes of the half, and they continued to keep Angel City kind of pinned in their defensive third, but they did finally break through with an equalizer in the 64th minute. We saw forward Emma Sears send a cross from the left side into the 18-yard box where they see defender Carson Pickett. She settled the ball, sent it into the back of the net. We're at a tie ball game, folks, and I told you it was packed full of action, and it's only going to get more exciting because we are going to see the game winner come in the 85th minute when Thompson threads an impressive one-touch ball in for Sydney LaRue. She took a touch, bursted her little jets on, and ran into the 18, placed a driven shot inside the far post and passed a diving Lund. LaRue would net her 45th career goal, tying her with Kansas City midfielder Dabinha for ninth most all-time in the NWSL. She was pretty excited about that. We've got the first goal and the 45th goal for somebody in this game. That just tells you, you know, how many different types of players we have on our team. Now, there's going to be a lot of action at the end of this game, and we're definitely holding our breath again because stoppage time is not always our friend, but I have to tell you, Didi Haracich stood on our head. She made a couple impressive saves that kept the ball out of the net. claiming all 3 points for Angel City. You just saw the relief on their face getting this win at home, and boy, was it one to celebrate. You know, if you look at the stats, you know, we had a great game, and what this game did, as well as the one before with Houston, those 4 points in the last week, they put us in ninth place, which is actually only one slot below where the playoff line is, and it still ties us with Louisville, who's right above us. It's just goal differential. So, you know, we are still very, very much in this race. Such an exciting week of football for Angel City. A lot to be proud of. So let's talk about what's happening and what's coming up. Now, Angel City, they're going to get a rematch game coming up. They are going to be playing this Saturday on the road up in the Bay against Bay FC, the new franchise, at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. Now, if you guys remember, Bay FC defeated Angel City in their inaugural match on Angel City's home turf, 1-0, back on March 17th. So I really expect Angel City to show up ready to avenge that loss. And honestly, Angel City has been fire on the road. They have not lost that many games. They've only lost 3 of their last 13 regular season road matches, dating back to mid-June last year. So they have been a force to be reckoned with on the road. And you can't always say that about teams. A lot of times the road is the one that's much harder, more struggle. So kind of interesting to see where this is going to go. But a lot of really exciting games, a lot of action. And I think you kind of are seeing Angel City really finding their form. A lot of these rookies are stepping up, and a lot of people that have been injured are finding their feet. We did see Sarah Gordon returned back into the lineup, and boy, was she missed. Seeing her and Madison Curry together on that back line, I mean, they are definitely two defenders that people need to keep their eyes on, and such a fun set of games. And I mean, Angel City home games are so amazing. If you haven't been to one, you definitely need to check it out. We will be playing back at home June 30th as well. So catch those games, like I said, this Saturday on the road, 7 o'clock against Bay FC. And yeah, that's really all I've got. I don't know. I hope you guys got a chance to watch these games. I'd love to know your thoughts if you're able to catch them. But man, so good to see Kennedy Fuller and Sydney LaRue together in the press conference. Like, you know, the veteran and the rookie, and just, you know, they're so far apart in one way, but they're so close together when it comes to talent. It's great.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, that being on Soccer in 60 is definitely magic for some of these players. You know, having both Madison Curry on a couple of weeks and then Kennedy Fuller just last week before, you know, before the game this week. I think it's you, me, and Philly are giving the Angel City a lot of that, good luck.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Yeah, it was a good time. And you could just see how happy Kennedy Fuller was. She is, you can still tell she's still such a, you know, so young and everything. And you just could tell she was just beaming. She could not stop smiling in the press conference. So congratulations to her on her first career goal. And again, on Sydney LaRue on her 45th. And can't forget, I mean, Rocky Rodriguez scored. We've had, I think it was like 7 or 8 now goal scorers on Angel City. So I love that we've got threats coming from all different places on our team.
Going from your prompt to the pitch, that's amazing. At 17 years of age, I barely knew how to tie my own shoes. Kennedy Fuller is just awesome.
Yeah. All right, and then there's a watch party this weekend for the Bay FC game up at Common Space Brewery, right? Up at the 3411 West El Segundo Boulevard in Hawthorne.
Yes. So it's always fun to go to these watch parties. A lot of fun giveaways, a lot of just interacting with fans. It's always fun to watch it with friends. So make your way out there. You know, we're going to talk a lot about this tonight as well on the Angel City Chicks podcast as well. So if you guys are around and want to know a little more and some NWSL news as well, pop up in, and love to see you guys there. But always a pleasure joining you guys. Keep up the good work. Hopefully I'll see you next time.
Thanks, Panda. We appreciate it. Thanks for
popping. Hope to
in
see
today.
You soon. She's next door. We decided, not to do the high five tagging in, tagging out stuff. It seemed a little and unbecoming.
Yep, exactly.
And she's my wife, in case anybody was wondering. She's not just somebody that's stashed in the other room.
Yeah, we have Panda stuck in the other room. She doesn't get to escape, especially when she's doing the podcast and doing our show too.
Yeah, right. On the air, doing one of these, one of the Empire Strikers games, I saw somebody in the Twitch chat go, it's like, oh, that's cool. They're brother and sister. Like, no, dude.
No.
We look nothing alike. I'd be far more handsome if I had her genes, that's for sure.
So let's hop over to Orange County. Orange County, you know, this is, I mentioned it at the top of the show, man. Everybody gets a brace in this game. All the goal scorers put two in the back of the net. And, you know, Orange County came into this game at 5-5-3, and the Colorado Switchbacks came in at 5-5-2. So you would think that, hey, this is pretty evenly matched, what have you. But the problem is that the Colorado Switchbacks came into this game unbeaten in their last six, 5-0-1. They are definitely on the elevator up, as the great play-by-play guys were talking about. And Orange County, unfortunately, has not been able to find their form very much lately. And we see an old friend in this game, Ronaldo Damas, who is, you know, played on the Orange County SC championship winning game just a few years ago, who was the star of that team. He comes in, and unfortunately, he's wearing the other team's colors. And he lines up for Colorado, but that's okay. You know, we had a lot going on. Bryce Jamison, who's starting to come into his own for Orange County, gets the start this week. Thomas Among, unfortunately, doesn't make the trip. And Orange County has been hit with the injury bug. The team got a couple of people back this game. But, you know, Brian Olosky is leading that team. Bryce Jamison is starting to come into his own. And we see Owen Lamb make his 100th appearance in a USL championship game. So he's only about the sixth person to make that mark. And so a big, giant, historic day for Owen Lamb playing on the back line for Orange County. 19th minute, Orange County allows Yosuke Hanya to dribble 50 yards. You know, he's barely attacked. Hanya only makes one real move on a guy. And then with nobody within about 5 yards of him, Hanya just decides to rip one. And boy, does he. He puts the laces through it, and he drives the ball from about 25 yards away. And starting goalkeeper Colin Shuttler, he just can't get to it. It's perfectly placed. It's in the top 90. And it's 1-0, you know, and we're less than 20 minutes in. Hanya, remember that name, because we're going to get back to him in a few minutes. Go to the halftime, 1-0. You know, there was some good action. They were playing strong. Orange County was starting to stifle a little bit on defense after the Hanya goal. And then 48th minute, we mentioned him at the top, Bryce Jamison. He gets a deflection off of a very long throw-in, and Orange County has got a couple of guys that can really throw the ball in. It's almost like a corner kick. It's great to be able to see it. Off a long corner, off a long throw-in, the ball's deflected down, and Jamison chests this ball to himself, and he just rifles it. Left-footed, far post, goalkeeper has no chance, and rock and roll. It's 48 minutes, and it's 1-1. And then after a strong buildup, and this is another thing, we talked about this last week, there were 16 consecutive passes on a goal against Orange County last week. On Bryce Jamison's second goal, Orange County put together 15 consecutive passes. Colorado could not get to the ball, and he gets his brace. It's beautiful. Asis Chutta bravely heads a ball on a cross, and he's going to get wiped out. Chutta know he's going to get buried, and he heads this ball straight across the six-yard box, and from about 7 yards out, Jamison just buries it. Goalkeeper doesn't make it to it, and it's 2-1 Orange County. Unfortunately, that's about all we get out of Orange County from the offensive zone. You know, Orange County makes a few strong efforts, gets some goal, you know, gets some shots on goal. But Malik Foster replies literally right after the kickoff. There's about six or seven really crisp passes between Colorado, and Malik buries it. You know, less than a minute later, it's about 55 seconds, and it's 2-2. Colorado regains that momentum. And then it's pretty even for the next you know, 15, 20 minutes. The switchbacks get possession on the right side and a cross that can't be cleared by Orange County. It's a difficult cross. The defense makes a lunging poke at it. And here comes Hanya again. He collects the ball at the top of the 18 and rockets a left footer. Second goal. Colorado's up 3-2. And Orange County's kind of on their heels at this point. They're not quite sure what they've got going on. And just 4 minutes later, you know, you give up one goal, you got to be ready to get back right on it. And just 4 minutes later, after very strong possession by Colorado in the Orange County defensive third, Malik Foster completes his brace from 23 yards out, going low to Shuttler's left to make it 4-2. Just a really strong effort by Colorado in this game. And Orange County was just trying their guts out, but they just couldn't get it. The game ends 4-2, and we're on the wrong side of it. However, Orange County is going up against Indy 11 this weekend. Indy 11 is third in the East. Unfortunately, they're running into a buzzsaw because Indy 11 has won 8 straight league games, and they're also unbeaten in 12 games if you're putting in the U.S. Open Cup games. The guy on Indy 11 is a guy named Jack Blake. He's leading their team with 8 goals. And, you know, going to Indy is going to be a tough one. Orange County does come back to Championship Stadium in Irvine on the 29th against the Oakland Roots. And it's going to be Touch a Truck Night. So that's going to be a good time. And it's also Marvel Night. So dress up as your favorite Marvel character, bring the kids, and they're going to have big, giant, heavy equipment out there. So it's going to be a good time. And with that, let's get into some miscellaneous stuff. Billy, what else is going on in the world of footy today?
Euros are out in full effect today, which has been fantastic. Some really good games that have transpired. Germany, the team that I'm rooting for, has come out with 2 straight wins after winning big time against Scotland and then again against Hungary. They play Switzerland this weekend, which will be very, very interesting. That's fun. Copa America's kicking off tonight within a few minutes, actually. Argentina's taking on Canada. You'll see the fighting Alfonso Davies versus the Lionel Messi's. There's just so many good things going on. I love this time of year. I love being able to wake up in the morning, catch morning footy, start watching the Euros, come back home for lunch because I do live a mile and a half down the road from my office, which is great. So I come back home for lunch. I caught the first half of Spain versus Italy, kind of a boring game in a lot of ways, but actually no, the second half is what I caught when we actually saw the goal. That was fun. I mean, just so much is going on and that would be great. And the German team is a team that I've been focusing on ever since I was 10 years old in Germany when they won the World Cup, West Germany at the time, beating Argentina. That's always been the club I've been pulling for, and they massacred Scotland. Despite the fact that the Tartan Army came out in full effect, 5-1, that was a pretty big butt-kicking. And then going up against a country like Hungary, they took care of business against them as well. And now they're pretty firm in the group stages. They'll finally come out of a group stage, which is great. We haven't seen them come out of a World Cup group stage really since they won the World Cup in 2014. Speaking of which, I'm wearing my 2014 U.S. men's national team jersey. Our nice producer Gunner would love the fact that number six is John Brooks, the German-American who now plays at TSG Hoffenheim. I'm stoked. What are you looking forward to? And by the way, speaking of which, the U.S. men played June 23rd against Bolivia. What have you enjoyed about the Euros? What are you looking forward to out of Copa America?
You know, I was really looking forward to the Euros, and I caught that entire Germany game, and it was just fun because, you know, you're seeing the memes about, you know, what Scotland is going to do, and you have all these Scottish guys saying this, that, the other thing, do-do-do-do-do. Let's get after it. And then at the very end, they go, oh, no, we're going to get our butt kicked by Germany. Don't worry about it. So that's been a lot of fun. You know, I was kind of disappointed today, and I get it. I understand it. But England just kind of laid an egg today. They did get the point, so they're going to push through. But I'm really looking forward to the Copa America and to really see what the U.S. can do on a truly huge international stage after the last World Cup. You know, they played well in that World Cup. They had a chance to continue forward. But seeing them come up against the likes of Argentina, against some of these Bolivia, against a lot of these other teams, it's really going to put them to the test. And then we're really going to see what they're made of. To have Pulisic leading the team this time out, I'm just excited. I've got my new Pulisic AC Milan jersey. I've got my U.S. jersey coming in. The mail is supposed to be here tomorrow. I'm ready to go. I'm stoked. It's going to be great. We're going to go to a watch party here local in Orange County, and it's going to be fun. We're going to get after it pretty good this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be good. I will be in South Carolina. No, Savannah, Georgia. I'll be when the game against Bolivia takes place. Not sure what time we land. I don't know if we'll be able to catch that on flight or whatever. But, yeah, hopefully the U.S. pulls a pretty good run. I think they have such a talented core group of kids and players. Mm-hmm. The tactics and the coaching is what's questionable, but that's a podcast within its own right. So don't want to talk too much about that. You, my friend, have a very Herculean task ahead of you in 7 days, as you are going to be running the show. So you'll be without me in a week.
And that's okay, Philly. We'll figure it out a way. I'll just get like 9 interviews and we'll do okay. Perfect. Hey, everybody out there on the radio, out there on Spotify, out there on streaming. It's been awesome hanging out with you today. Thanks, Philly. You have a great vacation. We'll check you guys next week. This has been Soccer in 60.